You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Good morning. Our scripture reading will be in the 9th chapter of Acts, verses 9 through 15. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he has done to thy saints in Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on his name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading of this year's holy word, because we ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
Let's open up with prayer. Father, we pause now to study your word. We thank you for the opportunity to do that and come and fellowship together. We pray that each one of us would want that fellowship each and every day with the word of God as we study it to get to know you better, be approved in your sight. Help us as we walk this path to be encouraged to do what you would have us do. Lord, we often get caught up in the busyness of the world and the hectic and the hustle and bustle, Lord. And we often find it easy not to open your Bible. Pray that we would do that each and every day, early and often, that we would consult your wisdom so we might be grown up, handling your Word of God, and be approved as we share what you've done for us each and every day, not only here on earth, but most of all, Lord, the position we have in Christ in the heavenlies far above. Thank you for that calling, for the position, for all the work that is done and accomplished in Christ, which in his name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Mike, we need to get that handout coming around. Derek had asked me to teach this weekend. He was going to be out of town. And I had to go on a trip to Chicago, and I, you know, always have a handout. And it came Saturday morning, and I was going to get it done Saturday. And lo and behold, we're sitting there. I'm at breakfast Saturday morning. Clayton's watching cartoons. And Clayton goes, What's that smell? I'm like, you know, now we're potty training Clayton. So, you know, of course, my first thought was, was, you know, something else. And, you know, I kind of go, oh, okay. Well, and then I look over there, and he says it again. And now he looks towards my computer and my desk in the living room, and there's smoke billowing out. So Kathy's in the kitchen cooking. I yell fire. I run over there. And, of course, you're trying to find it. And it's somewhere around the computer. And I'm just starting to grab things and unplugging it. And I'm just, you know, meanwhile, Clayton's like, I'm out of here. And he runs to the backyard. He did his job. And sure enough, I unplug the computer and I find it's coming from inside. So I take it out in the backyard, open it up, and I'm looking. I don't see anything. I think, you know, I take it apart. And as I'm vacuuming the thing, I see finally there was one part, a video card that had started melting down. And, you know, I thought, well, Lord, if I had not been at home, if we had been anywhere, and I always leave the computer on because I'm always doing something. And had I not been home, that thing, you know, I guess would have escalated to a complete meltdown and, you know, catch the desk on fire. You wouldn't have had your hand out today, see? So I pulled the bad part out, went and bought a new part and put it in and tested it. Things seemed to work. So I went to great lengths to get you a handout. I just want all this sympathy because it was about 1 in the morning when I finally was ready to start doing the handout, but I finally waited and did it this morning. So that's right. So the Lord's gracious that we were home. But I don't have my computer on as I leave the house now. I tend to turn it off. Well, there was a conversation I had with an individual a month or so ago, and I wouldn't say off the cuff. We were talking about the Bible and apostles, and this person came out with the statement that, you know, did not like the Apostle Paul. Didn't like him. I was like, what? I said, Apostle Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. Well, I preferred Apostle John. He's the apostle of love. And Paul, you know, he's just not good. I thought, well, boy, you know, apostle of the Gentiles, you know, we're Gentiles. And the response was, no, there's a little Jewish in all of us. And I thought to myself, well, this is just, you know, unbelievable. The apostle to the Gentiles, and we don't like him. Well, I thought today I would do a little study on the Apostle Paul and speak to the importance of Paul's role in the Lord's ministry, particularly to three groups of people. And he says these three groups of people here in Acts chapter 9, verse 15. The Lord's explaining to Ananias, who's complaining that he doesn't want to go into the Saul of Tarsus because he heard of his reputation. Now, this reputation was not a very kind reputation. It was one that Stephen suffered a fate of being stoned to death because Stephen testified of Christ, and there was an individual named Saul of Tarsus who was consenting unto Stephen's death. We see in Acts 9:15, the Lord explains unto Ananias that Paul, or at that time Saul of Tarsus, is to be a chosen vessel unto him, to bear his name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Now, what I thought was interesting about that list of there, those three groups of people, was in a way, Paul carries out that ministry in reverse order. Because when you look at that, he first goes to the children of Israel. He stirs them up so much that they deliver him unto kings. And while the kings put him into prison on the way to eventually executing him, he has a prison ministry where he writes prison epistles, particularly under the Gentiles, right? But here is a chosen vessel, and you know, if he's a chosen vessel, you better pay attention. And if you don't like what he has to say, then you better deal with that on a personal basis, because the Lord specified not only is he a chosen vessel, but ultimately to the group called the Gentiles, and that's who we are. We are not Jewish. We're not descendants of Judaism. We are Gentiles, and we used to be called dogs, separate from the nation of Israel. We weren't born into the house of Abraham, Jacob. Okay, we are Gentiles. And I saw on the news recently, there was an entertainer. What was her name? She was a singer. Oh, I forget. But she was over in Israel with her husband. And this girl used to sing gospel. Boy, I forget her name. It'll come back to me. But she was over visiting Sharon because they thought they were part of a lost tribe of Israel. And they were with a bunch of people. Boy, what is her name? Whitney Houston. That's right. It was Whitney Houston. Whitney Houston with her husband and a group of people were visiting the leaders of Israel because they thought they were part of the lost tribe of Israel. Well, I just don't believe that. We are Gentiles, and we Gentiles have a specific role in the ministry of God. And we learn much about that through the Apostle Paul, because we were told here, just like Ananias was told, that he was a chosen vessel unto Gentiles. But who is this Apostle Paul? Well, we go back to Acts chapter 7 and look at your handout. You know, instead of having you do Bible aerobics, I went ahead and just pulled the scriptures for you. We see this Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 7, verse 58. That he was at the stoning of Stephen. And the witnesses of that stoning laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Now here he is as a young man. Not really sure how young he was, but he's a young man. And what's interesting is the end of this study, you'll see that at the end, he's not a young man anymore. He's certainly aged. But here he is, a young man, and he's on a mission. He's on a mission to persecute Christians. We see in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, that Saul was consenting unto his death. And there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And this is a devout man carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. And as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women and committed them to prison. So is there any wonder why Ananias was a little uncomfortable about going to see Saul of Tarsus? So Ananias might be in the same company of this individual who said, "I don't like Paul." Well, Ananias had somewhat of an excuse at that time, because Paul's testimony at that time was one of persecution. But we see in Acts chapter 9 that something's going to change. And as Paul is now going, in verse 1, he's breathing out threatenings and slaughter against disciples of the Lord. He went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, were they either men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks or goads." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told to thee what thou must do." Well, the men that were with him were speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, because he was then blinded. They led him by the hand and brought him unto Damascus. Now he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. And we see later that he was praying, because that's what Ananias was told during that time frame. What a 3 days and three nights without sight. Not only did he eat or drink, but he stood there praying. Now you talk about a character of this individual to be in that role, but to be struck down on that road to Damascus. And everything that you stood for, everything that was driving you, all of a sudden the Lord said, "Go another direction." We often think about our lives as chapters in a book. And recently I felt like I went from one chapter to another with my health challenges. I feel like I went from, going in one direction to another, but I don't think it's anything compared to what Paul did here as he was called onto the road to Damascus. For me, it was maybe not eating healthy and not being physically fit, and now all of a sudden I take a little extra time to get up and work out in the mornings to get my strength back. But here, his whole purpose, his whole life was changed. And we see now down in verse 15 that the Lord declares he's a chosen vessel. So guess what? This chosen vessel, Saul of Tarsus, is someone that we should pay attention to and someone that we very much should follow. So here we see now in verse 19, when he received meat and he was strengthened, Saul certain days with the disciples were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. So where does he go when he gets his sight and strength back? He goes to the synagogues, and guess who are there? And that's the children of Israel. Well, several passages then in Scripture talking about Paul's ministry under the children of Israel, and there's many, and I don't have all of them here. But we see in Acts chapter 17 a vision of that, or a picture of that. When they were passed from Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And as his manner was, he went in unto them. So here's Paul's manner. Paul was told that he would be a vessel unto Gentiles, kings, and Israel. But straightway he went to the synagogue and he went to Israel. See, so that verse, he's doing it in reverse order. So here we see in Acts 17 that he went as his manner once unto Israel. Verse 3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered, rose again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Some believe, and sort of Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude of the chief women, not a few, but the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. Lewd fellows of the baser sort. That's an interesting description, but aren't there a few of those nowadays? and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and brought them out of the people. So they, you know, they got these people to stir everybody up. What I thought was interesting is when we go back to Acts chapter 9, when the Lord said unto Ananias, go into the street which is called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul. Interesting, a street named Straight. I meant Straight Street. You're not going to find the lewd of baser sort on Straight Street, are you? You're just not going to do it. They're going to be the way crooked. Right? So, moving on, Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 1, verse 13. I'm sorry. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hereto, that I might have fruit among you, even also among other Gentiles. I'm a debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians, but to the wise and to the unwise. So as for me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So Paul here declaring, when he went to the cities in his ministry, he went to the Jew first. He went to the synagogues, and he preached the gospel of Christ. And as they typically did, as we saw in Acts 17, when they believed not, the Jews believed not, he then left the synagogue and went to those outside of it and preached unto the Gentiles, and often they did hear. Peter talks about that, 2 Peter chapter 3. He's saying, nevertheless, we, meaning Israel, they are according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And an account of all the longsuffering of the Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, as according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle with, as they do also the other scriptures under their own destruction. You know, those of Israel were having a hard time with Paul's ministry. Not only did they have a hard time initially of who he was and all of a sudden immediately being the opposite of what he appeared to be, but this ministry that he had unto Israel, they struggled with. But he kept going under the Jew first. We see in Acts 26, verse 20. But showed first in them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles. What was he saying? That they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. He kept going all throughout to the Jew first. Even in Acts chapter 28, and it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. When they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or custom of our fathers, yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar. Not that I ought to be accused of my nation of, for this cause have I called you, to see you, to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. He says right there, for the hope of Israel, I'm bound with the chain, and the message unto Israel that they should repent, that they crucified the wrong man, that the king of Israel, that Jesus was the Messiah, even Christ himself. Well, in that last passage there, we hear of the appealing unto Caesar, unto Rome. So the next category that whole dissertation leads us up to is this presentation of a chosen vessel unto kings. We know that in Timothy he talks about, you know, we're to pray for all in authority, for kings and all that in authority, that we might live a quiet and peaceful life. And it goes on to say that, you know, why? Because so that they all may know and come to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Well, here we see in Acts chapter 22, this chief captain, Acts chapter 23, verse 22, the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, saying, tell thou no man that thou hast showed thee things to me. And he called him 2 centurions, and says, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen and 70, and spearmen 200, at a third hour of the night, and provide them beasts so that the pall may set on and bring him safe unto Felix the governor. There was such an uproar among the Israel and the people. They were so afraid that they were going to do wrong to Paul.
And this centurion, this captain, realized that Paul was not a slave or he wasn't a Jew. He was indeed a Roman. Here we see in verse 26, Claudius Lysias of the most excellent governor Felix. So here we start to see Paul's ministry under these kings. Not only as he goes to Felix, he ends up somewhat in front of Festus. After Festus, he ends up in front of King Agrippa and Bernice. And after King Agrippa, he ultimately ends up going unto Caesar because he appealed unto him. And it's that all the way up that chain, as he keeps going up the chain of command, that he's always given an opportunity to testify of what he was called to do, unto the Jew first, and then also to the Greek. And all along the way, he is very persuasive because of the truth that he puts in front of him. We see in Acts chapter 24, verse 22, when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, "When Lysias the chief captain shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter." And he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should be forbid none of his acquaintances to enter to him. After certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. So here, Felix, instead of being a leader that wants to seek the truth, he's hoping for a bribe. And Paul probably knew, because he was, you know, here Felix is winking, "You know, if you slip me a little money, I'll let you go." But Paul, being a person of conviction, stuck to what he was told he was going to have to do. See, we saw back in Acts chapter 9, we stopped in the scripture reading right before verse 16, Acts 9:16. He says, "For I will show him," meaning the Lord will show Paul, "how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." So here's the Apostle Paul, told he's going to suffer for the namesake of Christ. And you want to talk about a demonstration of love, Paul shows it. Because his love and affection for the Lord is unwavered. Here, instead of picking an easy way out and bribing his way out of jail, he testified. So here, but after back to Acts chapter 24, verse 27. "But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound." So now we go to Acts chapter 25. Here we have Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, "Wilt thou go up to Jerusalem? Will I be judged of things before me?" Then said Paul, "I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well know. For if I be an offender, or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof thou accuse me, no man may deliver them unto me. I appeal unto Caesar." Well, then Festus, when he conferred with the council, said, "Hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar thou shalt go." Well, after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came to Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause to the king, saying, "There is a certain man left in the bonds by Felix." Acts chapter 26, verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Thou permit me to speak thyself?" Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, "I thank myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before the touching of all things where I am accused of the Jews." And he goes on and he tells exactly his ministry. He tells King Agrippa so well. Verse 19, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient under this heavenly vision." And then you go on and he says, verse 23, "that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first, would rise from the dead, and should show light to the people and to the Gentiles." Notice the order still, the Jew first. And he thus spoke for himself. Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself, and much learning doth make thee mad." But he said, "I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but I speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knows of these things, before whom I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. They are wide open and seen. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believe. Then King Agrippa said unto him, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You talk about Paul and his ministry to the Jew. They couldn't believe him. They rejected him. Now he's in front of kings. He says, you almost even persuade me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only though, but also that hear me this day, that both were almost and altogether so much as I am, except these bonds. He wishes everyone would see who he is, except his bond. Now, that's interesting that he says, except his bond. I bet he probably would have. Now, if it were me, I would have said, no, except there's a few people I wish he'd lock up. But he says, except these bonds. And he spoke this saying, the king rose up, and the governor and Bernice, and they all sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doth nothing worthy of death nor bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might not have been set at liberty had he not appealed unto Caesar. Again, you go back to Acts 19:16. You know, I'll show many great things. He must suffer for my name's sake. Paul set, you know, straight course, and he accepted it all along the way. Now here we are in Acts 27. Now, they're journeying to Rome, and there's a ship, and it's that storm, and people on the ship are very concerned that they're all going to drown and die. But Paul is comforting the people on the ship here in verse 22. He says, now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for what I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told to me. He was told by an angel exactly where he was going and what he had to do. And he comforted those on the ship, saying, you know, don't worry. I'm the one that's going to Caesar, and I believe God, so you guys are going to be fine. Well, we see, jumping ahead again, Acts 28, and it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And they were come together. He said to them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs or of our fathers, yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who when they had examined me would have let me go, but there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spoke against him, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I would ought to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, I have called you to see you and speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. He never gave up. Until finally God said, that's it. And we see in Acts 28:28 that unto the Gentiles they will hear it. So now the third part of what we saw in that verse that he talked about, unto Israel, unto kings, and unto Gentiles. Paul says in Romans 11:13, he says, I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. See, it's the understanding of what the difference between a Jew and a Gentile is. Is fundamentally understanding right division of Scripture. And if you can say, I don't like Paul because he's a little rough and his message seems to hurt because I don't like, you know, his doctrine on maybe women, or I don't like his doctrine on, you know, certain things, but, you know, other apostles seem to be less confrontational, you're totally missing the boat. Totally missing the boat. Paul was given this office to the Gentiles, of which we are a Gentile. We see in Ephesians 3, chapter 1, that not only is he given the office to be an apostle unto the Gentiles, he was given a message called the mystery. Ephesians 3:9, and make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world was hidden in God, who created all things by Christ, to the intent and now to the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. According to this eternal purpose, he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, we see in Ephesians 2 that in times past, the Gentiles in the flesh were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, meaning Israel, made by hands. That we were without Christ, we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ, you were sometimes far off, are made near by the blood of Christ. But see, He is our peace, who has made both one and hath broken down this middle wall of partition, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make Himself of two one new man. He made peace. So to say that, you know, there's a little Jewish in all of us is so far off the mark. It demonstrates a complete ignorance of right division of Scripture. Now here we go to Philemon, and I really, this verse jumped out at me because when I saw back in the beginning of the lesson, we talk about Saul being what? A young man? Acts 7:58, when they laid the clothes down at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Here you have him, Philemon. Yet for love's sake I would rather beseech thee, being such as one as Paul the Aged. Now he's called Paul the Aged. So this walk that he had certainly aged him, didn't it? And then I included a picture here that was painted, a portrait of Paul, painted by Cheryl Enders, which is a good, I think, rendition of here in prison as he's writing one of the prison epistles. Paul the Aged is a prisoner of Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:7, he says, I'm ordained a preacher and apostle. I speak the truth in Christ. I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. 2 Timothy 1:11, he says, I'm appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. He fought a good fight. 2 Timothy 4:1, charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they'll heap themselves teachers, having itching ears. They'll turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned unto fables. Watch thou on all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He says, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not only me, but all them that love His appearing. The Apostle Paul and his journey, his ministry unto Israel, unto kings, and unto Gentile. A very profound journey through Scripture as you look at his ministry. One that is so crucial to the understanding of the calling in Scripture. It's interesting, in the end of his ministry, he wasn't very popular. There were a lot of people who said, I don't like Paul. Ministry's too tough. I'd rather go back to Judaism or beggarly elements of the law, because people like to be religious. They couldn't understand this grace message, this message of this mystery. And ultimately they rejected the truth. So Paul stood there in the end. I think he said, only Luke is with me. But he wasn't lonely. He knew that he had done the right thing, that he was waiting for that day that he would be given that crown of doing the right thing. So I encourage you to get to know the ministry of the Apostle Paul, this chosen vessel. You're not Israel, you may not be a king, and even if you are a king, there is a specific ministry under the Gentiles, and he has written it and is called the mystery. It is what you need to get to know and study, for it is your calling. Well, let's close there. Father, we thank you for the Apostle Paul and his ministry. We know that you identified him as a chosen vessel unto Israel, unto kings, but unto Gentiles, of which we are. And being a Gentile, Lord, we pray that we would be thankful for the position that Christ has given us, as he did destroy that middle wall of partition, and that we are able to accept him as our Savior and Lord, and understand our calling. And that calling was hidden before the foundation of the world, and it was through the Apostle Paul that you revealed it unto the Gentiles. And this manifold wisdom of God, Lord, is just tremendous. And help us to continue to study it and get to know it better, and just be a witness to that calling. And help those who may not understand the role of Paul the Apostle or his ministry, but they need to really get in and study it, because it is the vessel that you chose to deliver the mystery and the word very word that describes the completeness that is in Christ. For we are complete in Him, and we thank You for that. Just pray now for the lesson that was glorifying to Your Son Christ, and if there are any error, please strike it out. But just thank You for all You do, for it's in Christ, and we pray it for His sake. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.